You're kidding. Just one shot?
They're not all zombies, Doug. How do you fight this thing?
Maybe we could drown it in A1 sauce.
Well, sometimes that is better. The person you put up there ain't the person that comes back.
It's dead zone to get down with. About 6 feet under. Get dead.
Ooh, I love this song.
And now we come to the thrilling final episode of our radio drama.
Hello and welcome to episode 193 of the Rotten Reviews podcast. Thank you everyone for showing up to another episode this week. I appreciate it. We have a fun one for you this time around. It's not a horror movie. It's a action crime comedy from 1986 for an hour and 47 minutes. It's Running Scared, but you guys already know that by the title. You know, unless you have this already saved to pre-download, so it downloads ahead of time. If so, I appreciate that. Thank you for subscribing to the channel. If it's on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts is apparently going away. It's going to be YouTube Music or something like that, or Spotify or CastBox or wherever it is. I appreciate you guys all. I've been seeing a big influx of new Spotify listeners, so I appreciate that. If you guys could, if you feel so kindly, if you could, you know, just share the podcast, give it a star review. I'm not going to ask for 5-star, but if you want to give it a 5-star review on Spotify, I appreciate it. You know, if you want to give me a review on Apple Podcasts, I think that's the proper term, or iTunes, whatever it is. Yeah, I'm not an Apple user by any means at all, so you can do that. And I'm not sure if CastBox or any of the other podcast platforms have ratings or reviews on them. Just, you know, hit that share button. That means a lot to me and I appreciate it. As always, you know, make sure to check me out on all social media accounts. You know, for those that don't listen to the end, I understand it can be a little bit of a task here and there, but at Typhon Sign on all social media accounts, Instagram, X, Facebook, we got the Facebook art page, we have the TikTok page where we post short videos, and the main thing we're pushing each and every single week is that YouTube channel. We're slowly growing closer to that 1,000 subscribers, and the watch time is gaining on that as well. We have the weekly game video that drops every Wednesday. I have older episodes of the podcast. We do live streams over there as well. And there's a bunch of different short videos for like art projects that I'm working on at the time. With that being said, I just posted earlier this week a couple new wrestling Super Mario pieces. There's a couple SpongeBob pieces for those of you that don't know. Each and every single week, I do a lunchbox art surprise series for my daughter. So each week, she kind of, at this point, she picks the theme for the week. Before, it was just kind of like a surprise drawing each week. But now that she's a little bit older, I let her pick the theme so that way she has, she kind of knows what she's in for, but doesn't really fully know which characters I'm drawing. So this week's theme is actually SpongeBob. So I did a bunch of different SpongeBob characters. Give her a new one each day that she goes to school or daycare, whatever it might be in her lunchbox. And she never sees them until she's at school, you know, or snack time, whatever it might be. So it's a fun series I've been doing for the last, you know, few years. So I've been doing that straight. No days off on that one. I don't post them all the time, but they're usually the odd short video here and there. So definitely go check that out on YouTube. So enough of that being said, we are going to be live streaming some more. I've been doing Fortnite. I've been doing the Lego Fortnite as well. We're going to have some Lego Fortnite creative stuff going on as well. I'm going to be getting back into Texas Chainsaw Massacre because I want to start playing that game again. And yeah, we've just been playing games here and there. We got the retro games come back again. I'm going to be playing some more Hey Arnold and a bunch of other various games. I'm going to continue the Bobby's World Let's Play as well. So if you guys haven't checked that out, definitely go check out episode 1 of Bobby's World. That was a fun Howie Mandel cartoon that I grew up watching as a kid, so being able to play the video game, which I don't think I've ever played before, was a lot of fun. So definitely go check out that video. Enough about all that kind of stuff though. If you guys are new here, so what I do with this podcast, I started out with just horror movies, but now I've branched out to action comedy movies and other various platforms, and I talk about the movie from start to finish, hit all the points that interest me in between. So if you don't want to be spoiled on a movie that came out in the 80s, feel free to pause this episode now, and you can probably catch the movie still on Tubi, maybe. I'm not going to guarantee that at all, but by the time you guys are listening to this podcast, but you can definitely go do that or just listen to me talk about the movie from start to finish, and hopefully I'll just either describe it really well, making you want to see it, or you'll just feel fulfilled by listening to this podcast. So with that being said, let's talk about this movie a little bit. We'll get into the intro of it. The description as read on Tubi, two policemen in wintry Chicago put off their tropical retirement plans when their nemesis, a ruthless drug dealer and murderer, evades custody. This movie is directed by Peter Hames? I will be forever the butcher of names. A couple movies we're going to talk about from Peter. He was the director for 1981's Outland. He's also the director for 1997's Relic, a very decent horror movie that not a lot of people really talk about, I find. It's got 5.8 on IMDb. He's also the director for 1994's Time Cop, Jean-Claude Van Damme, which I find that actually surprising. But he's also the director for 1999's End of Days, the Arnold Schwarzenegger, like, post-apocalyptic kind of satanic movie. I guess it's not really post-apocalyptic. It's just a satanic movie where, like, you know, cults and crap. This movie also has two writers credited to it. One is Gary DeVore, who's best known for being the writer for 1986 Raw Deal, starring Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's also apparently the writer for one episode of CBS Summer Playhouse. He was the writer for 1981's Backroads, and he did the screenplay for 1980 The Dogs of War. Other than that, he hasn't really done too much of anything, to be honest with you guys. The other writer for this one is Jimmy Hudson, who was the director for 1981's Final Exam. I believe we already did that one on the podcast. I could be wrong, though. He was also the director for 1976, Retribution. He was also the director for the TV movie from 1995, The Wharf Rat. I have no idea what that is. He was also the director for 1977's Death Rider, which I don't know at all, but sounds interesting. Just by the title alone. And the two actors that I chose to talk about this time are the two leads, of course. We have Gregory Hines, which I didn't know this. Apparently, he was in 8 episodes of Will and Grace, but that's not really a TV show I ever watched. He was Big Bill and Big Bill Glover in 48 episodes of the Little Bill TV show from 1999 to 2004. He was in an episode of Law and Order. He did a lot of Little Bill stuff, which I don't really know too much about. He's actually apparently in Blue's Big Treasure Hunt as well. Well, it's the voice of Jack, and he had the Gregory Hines show for 21 episodes. Man, I gotta do some more research because I know nothing about that show either. I guess I don't know much about Gregory Hines at all. That's something new to learn about in the podcast. We learn new things here all the time. Like, I butcher names, so not something that's new at all, I guess. The next actor we're going to talk about is Billy Crystal, best known for being in Space Slickers. But he was also Mickey in 1985's Forget Paris. He was Harry Burns in 1989's When Harry Met Sally. And he was Dr. Ben Sobel in 1999's Analyze This. He's also, you know, in the Monsters at Work TV show as Mike's voice, of course, for 20 episodes. There's 20 episodes of Monsters at Work? I don't even know if me and the little monster watched all those. I know she was really into that show for a while. Maybe we'll have to revisit that one. And of course, he's also part of the Saturday Night Live crew as well. But I personally know him the most as being in City Slickers and Mike Wazowski. Did I say that right? I think I said that right. It's been a while since I watched Monster Inc., which I feel really old now because I just looked it up. Monsters Inc. came out in 2001? Is that old? Wow. It's got an 8.1 though rating on IMDb. Definitely well worth it. It's a good animated feature. If you haven't watched it, you should definitely go watch it. I'm assuming everyone who's listening to this podcast has probably watched Monsters Inc., but that's besides the point. Anyways, enough about all that kind of stuff. We're going to get started with the movie at hand. We're watching Running Scared from 1986. If you don't want to be spoiled on a movie that came out in the 80s, feel free to pause this podcast now. This is the last warning, so I don't want to hear any complaints at all, okay? Get some popcorn, get some Doritos, get whatever your favorite snack is. Unless you're at work, then just keep working, and hopefully this will help you get through your day. And yeah, we're going to get started on the movie at hand. Actually, just one more thing, last thing before we get started on the podcast. I forgot to mention, this movie has a 6.5 out of 10 on IMDb, 63% on Rotten Tomatoes, and 49% on Metacritic. 73% of Google users like this film. Initial release date was June 27th, 1986, and it had a box office of $38,500,726. I'm not sure what the budget was, but that sounds like a good payday.
Presents Saturday Night at the Movies, the television series which each week brings you the finest in recent motion pictures. Tonight,
let me tell you something. When you've been cops this long, you are not fit for anything else.
We're looking looking for some new career challenges.
Yeah, something with a future.
Show me another career they let you shoot people.
Give us your money.
You're mugging us?
I don't believe it.
You better believe it or you did.
Oh, come on, let us keep the driver's licenses and the snapshots.
And our badges.
I can't believe that you missed all six shots.
What are you talking about? I hit the windshield six times in a row.
I'm the one who made him swerve.
Oh, you made him swerve?
Yes,
you
sir.
You always aim low anyway.
Oh, good. Nagging me now. Nagging is good. You owe me $10 and I never said anything.
You want it now?
Yeah, I want it now.
Did I come at a bad time?
Follow that car.
Well, now you're gonna criticize my driving?
Well, it's just that you get to do all the dangerous stuff and I get to parallel park.
I love this job.
That classic MGM lion roar, you know, to start out that movie. And we see like a skyline shot of Chicago, and we got that classic 80s cop music playing. I enjoy the music a lot. And actually, it's kind of surprising that Gregory Hines is the first billing on this. Apparently, I need to do some more research on Hines to know more about his acting skills. I do enjoy him a lot in this movie, but I haven't really seen him on anything else that I recall. We just see the intro credits. We see Wrigley Field, Chicago Cubs. You see a bunch of like docking areas and bays and stuff. You know, people getting ready, walking around, probably getting ready for the day. You know, it's a wintry, cold, miserable day probably. You see one guy walking through the park. We see him from behind. It kind of looks like a montage, maybe a little hidden Easter egg. Tribute to Rocky, maybe. Just, you know, the way he's dressed. He's got his, like, workout gear on and stuff. Then we're cutting to, like, the ghetto area of Chicago. We see, you know, a little bit of rundown parks. We see some people still playing basketball, though. You know, it's winter. You know, we see Gregory Hines, who's Ray Hughes. And Billy Crystal, who's playing Danny Costanzo. You know, they're just, you know, undercover cops, you know, just chilling, relaxing. You know, Hines is, you know, drinking his alcohol with his paper bag on it. You know, nothing to see here, guys. You know, we're just undercover cops, no big deal. And then the guys lose their basketball, so Billy Crystal goes up or pick it up, and he's like, yeah, I can beat you guys. And Hines is just like, just give him the ball back, would you? Come on, just stop trying to show off. And that's when he then passes it to Hines. He's like, I don't want the damn ball. Let me see Hines, you know, fine, being like, okay, fine, I'll play some ball with you, I'm not too old, I got this. And then they're playing ball, and then out of nowhere, Billy Crystal's character gets decked in the face, and Billy Crystal's character's like, hey, it's fine, don't worry about it, right? You know, we got this. Look at the Mercedes over there, though. We should be probably keep an eye on that, huh? And then that's when they see Julio Gonzalez get out of the car, played by Jimmy Smits. Julio Gonzalez? Gonzalez, yeah. Gonzalez. And then Julio looks over them and be like, we gotta get back in the car. So then there's a chase going on, because now a briefcase is given to this other guy who's played by Joe Pantolino, I believe. I'm butcher of names, it's fine. Anyways, he's playing Snake, and then he's running through like the ghetto, and Hines and Crystal are trying to catch him. He runs into their apartment, but he doesn't shut the door in time. We have Crystal, like, blocking the door, finally shutting all the way with his foot. And Snake's like, what do you want, man? First, I would like my foot back, to be honest with you. And then Hines is like, you know what? I got this gun here. I'm about ready to put some holes through this door. But, you know, the issue, Snake, is some of those holes are going to be for you. So how about you let us through and into the apartment? That's when Snake finally does let him in. He's, like, clutching this briefcase and holding it. He's like, so there's just some stuff in the briefcase. Nothing at all. Just some personal shit. You know, don't worry about it. Just some, you know, photos and memories and stuff. Yeah, nothing for you guys to look at. Anyways, they then get the briefcase from Snake, and they open up, and he's like, there's nothing wrong with, you know, having a briefcase with some money in it, right? It's no big deal, right? It's only $50,000 in the briefcase. What's the big deal, guys? I don't know what the issue is. That's when Snake's like, you know, you guys don't have any reason to arrest me. And Hines like, we got 50,000 reasons right here. He's like, no, but there's no crime at all, so there's no issue. And Crystal's like, you know what? I got an idea here. He goes out on the balcony. He's like, this neighborhood's under community watch right now, because this guy Snake in here has $50,000 in his briefcase that he's keeping in his home. I want you guys to know that he's got $50,000, so I don't want anyone to try and steal that money from him or injure him, okay? Just so you guys are aware. And it's just, you know, Crystal trying to put some more heat on Snake because now he's going to be worried that people are going to rob him and beat the shit out of him. And then Hines and Crystal go leave. He's like, Snake, you take care of your possessions and everything. Keep in touch, okay? Let us know that everything's going okay and that you're doing okay, right? So that's when then Snake gives him a reason to arrest him. And actually, he throws a punch at them and then he gets arrested, of course. And then we see them in the car together and they're questioning Snake, being like, so saw Gonzalez drive away in a Mercedes, so like, who's he working with now? And Snake's like, he ain't working with anyone, you know, he's his own made man, he's just got money. And then Hines and Crystal start mentioning about some crystals or some cocaine, and Snake's like, you know what, I got the right to marine science. And then he starts holding his breath in the back seat. And then we see them going to apparently the neighborhood where Gonzalez kind of hangs out, and we see a bunch of fire trucks and everything. And Hines like, so I don't think this is the neighborhood where Gonzalez would park his car. And they go, where's the fire? He's like, there is actually no fire around here. It's just, you know, you got called to the scene. I just think there's something going on around here. Doesn't seem like the fire chief really knows what's going on at this point in time. And then Hines decides to handcuff Snake into the back seat, like the, I guess there's like a bar on the floor of the car, and they walk away with his suitcase. And then we come to find out that there's actually a crime scene, because apparently there's a guy dead on the sidewalk who apparently looks like he might have got pushed off of the roof of a high building, and he's got no ID, he's a John Doe, and apparently he's got no face because his face met the sidewalk first. And Hines and Crystal are mentioned to the like street cop, being like, you know, we're trying to get Gonzalez arrested. He's like, you're not going to find him in this area. He moved downtown, he's got a whole new area that he's working on. And then we see Crystal is rushing to the car because he didn't realize what time it is, and apparently he's late to show up to his aunt's funeral, and he's dragging Hines and Snake with him. And Snake's like, oh, come on, just leave me in the car, I don't want to go. And Chris is just like, hey, just, you know, look sad, okay, just do that, that's all you gotta do. And at the funeral, we see Anna coming over to talk to Danny, Billy Crystal's character, and that's his ex-wife. And one of the like older ladies comes over and says, it's so great to see you guys back together. And he's like, we're actually still divorced. Like, you're Italian, you don't get divorced. This is just not how it works. And the one aunt's like, you know, I hope you'll be on time for my funeral and not late to almost the last minute like you were for this aunt, my sister's funeral. He's like, yeah, I'll be the first in line. Don't worry. And as Anna and everyone else leaves, you know, Snake's making kissy sounds at her. And Danny's like, as soon as we're outside, I'm gonna kick your damn ass for making those kissy sounds. I'm gonna kick your ass so goddamn hard. And then as they're walking back to their car, two other guys show up with guns and try to rob them to steal their money in the car. So then they try to get in the briefcase, and the Snake's like, no, that's mine. And the guys are like, we don't want your luggage. He's like, fine, take our wallets. I just want, take the cash out of them. I just want the wallet back, okay? Just give me the wallet back. You know, see this wallet? See the police badge? I want that back too as well. And the two robbers start freaking out. He's like, just give us your guns then. He's like, nah. You can have the cash, but you're not getting the guns. So you guys are under arrest. I just wish you guys would know that. And the two guys that are trying to rob them start running off, and Hines and Chris are like, you know, this stuff really starts in the home. You know, it's just some bad parenting. You know, we got to stop this. You know, we got to stop this as a community. You know, we got to stunt the problem of crime. And the guys get into a Mustang and try to drive away, but a big box truck's coming down the alleyway, so they have to turn around, and they're driving right towards Snake, Hines, and Crystal. And then there's like a shootout scene happening, and they crash the Mustang, which is pretty sad because that was really nice car. And Chris is like, I can't believe it, you missed all six shots. And he's like, what do you mean? I hit the windshield six times. He's like, no, those were my shots. You know, I was definitely the one shooting and hitting everything. You definitely weren't. And then Snake's like, you guys are sick. You know, why are you guys fighting about who actually landed the shot? As you know, this fire hydrant's, you know, bursting open, the water shooting all over the place. And Danny, he's just like, you know what? With this angle, Snake, there's no way, you know, Ray could have hit those shots, because there's just no way that would have happened. Even though they're both staying in the middle of the alleyway. And we see them back at the police station, and Captain Logan's questioning them. And Hines is like, you know, Snake, just tell him who we're with and what we're doing, or we're going to kill you too, okay? Because the captain's, you know, being like, so you guys weren't interrogating anyone or questioning people while I was gone, were you? We see Ray and Danny at a bar together, and there's, assuming Danny's on a date for the first time. I don't know, this girl. It's like, were you scared? He's like, no, I'm not scared ever. I'm bulletproof. And then Ray's like, I ain't bulletproof. I don't want to get shot. Kind of find out this is just like a random girl they met in the bar, because Ray's like, what's your name? I don't know your name. You're just sitting at the table with us. So what's your name? And then it's like the next day, I guess, and Danny's sneaking into this loft apartment. We think it's his, but it's actually Ray's apartment. He's got a police bike in his like living room area facing the bed because it's all open concept. He just flicks the police sirens on the bike, and out of the bed pops out Ray and the girl that they met at the bar, because apparently both of them were trying to take her home at the same time. But hey, at least Danny brought some Dunkin' Donuts to, you know, wake them up with, I guess. Sounds like the same day, and they're at the police station now, and we see Anna there, and there's like this awkward tension scene between her and Danny, you know, because Danny and Anna are divorced. And Anna's just like, you know, so how you been? You know, work going good for you? Oh, by the way, I'm getting married, just so you know. And apparently Danny knows nothing about this, so he's like, so it's a good relationship, good stable job, you know, he's a doctor, you know, just curious, I guess. And we see this like lawyer guy dropping off envelope for Costanza, and Danny's like, he went in the woman's washroom. Actually, he likes to hide out there because he's actually Ray who's hiding in the woman's washroom. And he's like, well, you don't look like a Costanza. He's like, what do you want me to do, lose the war again? He's like, who's it from? Who's the envelope from? He's like, it's from your aunt. Gave you the estate and everything that she owns. So he's like, okay, I actually got to go talk to my buddy here and discuss some things. So then Ray runs and finds Danny. He's like, you're rich. And then Danny's just like, Anna's getting married. And Ray's like, oh, congrats, that's great. And then Anna's just like, I got to go, so I'll see you later. And Danny's just trying to convince himself. He's like, you know, I'm better without her. It's fine. Everything's fine. Ray's like, you're wrong about that. And then the Captain Logan comes around. He's like, so you guys need to go to this area of town because, you know, there was a cop found in the wrong section of town who was thrown off the roof of his apartment, and you need to go figure out why he's there. And then they're like, we gotta go talk to Snake. And then they have the lineup of people, and there's four of them are cops and one of them is Snake. And Ray's like, number five, can you step closer? And then Danny's like, that's definitely him, that's definitely the bad guy. So then Ray and Danny are like, so Snake, you know, we have an offer for you. How about you help us out? We get Gonzalez and you get off. And, you know, if you don't, which you're probably telling us to screw off right now at this point in time, how about we take you both down and both screw you over? How about that, Snake? You want that deal or you don't want the deal, huh? So then we see Snake getting all his stuff because he's, you know, signing off on the deal with Ray and Danny. And he's like, where's my money? And the guy's like, oh, don't worry about it. You got to sign off on it. And he's getting ready to sign off. And he's like, $5,000. $5,000? Where's the rest of my money? He's like, that's all you got, man. And we see them in a room together, all three of them, and they're getting ready to wire up Snake with the listening device. He's like, you know, Snake, if you don't want to go through with the deal, you know, you can try going for the courts and try and prove that we stole the money, but that's going to take you a while. And, you know, if you want to try it, you're more than welcome to. And Snake's just like, you know, fine. You know, just hook me up with the microphone and everything, and let's get this done over with. And then we see that night, and Snake's meeting up at a truck to do the deal with the buy with the briefcase with the $50,000. He's unloading a bunch of boxes out of the truck. I'm not sure what's inside the boxes, but they don't look light because Snake's having a really hard time putting them inside his van. This whole time, the buy's going off. We see Ray and Danny sitting in the car. They're kind of going on about what they're going to do once they bust Gonzalez, and they're, you know, munching down some fast food. And then they kind of look over and be like, look, the deal's happening, putting stuff in the van. And then we hear them through the car radio listening to the whole conversation, because now Snake's at like the drop-off point with Gonzalez. He's like, why'd you come back here? I heard you got busted by those cops. You're probably just, you know, trying to screw me over. He's like, no, I'm not doing any of that, man. I'm just here to do the deal for you like we usually do. No big deal. And then while the van's, you know, not being washed by anyone, Danny and Ray go over to check the boxes, and we find out there's Uzis all in the boxes. And like, crap, there's probably at least 12 Uzis in there, huh? And there's only two of us. That's not good. We see them making their way through the factory to try and get to Snake because they hear Snake's like struggling and yelling. And then they break into the alleyway and they're like, freeze, nobody move. And we just see Snake stand there, and it was a whole trick to lure them into the building the whole time. And Snake goes over to both of them and steals their guns from them. Like, what, you think I'm stupid? You guys think you could just bully me around? I had this plan set up the whole time. And Snake's like, well, how about we do a Colombian necktie to them, cut the mirror to ear? And then Gonzalez's like, Snake, you should be worried too, because you brought the mirror. And Snake's like, I brought them to you, gift wrap. I wasn't trying to do anything. And then Snake gets shot in the chest. Then we come to find out two of Julio's henchmen are actually undercover police officers as well. And somehow Ray and Danny knew nothing about this because it's in another police division. And there's a whole like gun shootout happening in this like underground factory area. But then Gonzalez gets out and runs down to another hallway, and he meets up with one of his other henchmen. He's like, anyone comes through that door, you shoot them. Understood? So apparently they were on actually like a cargo ship doing the deal, because it looked like a factory at one point in time or a warehouse, but we can definitely tell it's a cargo ship because Ray and Danny are on top of the ship and it's like wet and looks a little slippery, and they're looking for Gonzalez and they see a random foot like hanging out of this tarp that's covering up a boat, and they go to, you know, lift the tarp up, and of course it's actually Gonzalez hiding underneath the tarp of all things. I'm not sure why he decided to hide by a Mayday boat kind of thing, and they pin him up against the wall and they make him say his own rights, note by note, and if he misses anything they punch him in the stomach as he's got a gun pointed in his face. Then Ray and Danny meet up with the other undercover officers, and they got one of Gonzalez's guys. He's like, ah, great, just because of you guys freaking and Gonzalez got away. He's like, you can put that one back in the water, to be honest with you guys, because Gonzalez is sitting in the back of her car, and you know, that's not his henchman guy's not going to do any good for you. See you later, boys. And then Captain's like, you know, you guys did a great job grabbing Gonzalez for the DEA kid, because, you know, they've been, you know, tracking his gun running business from like the Forest of Columbia, and we have on video now of you guys screaming because you need to have your ass saved. And Ray and Darren are like, yeah, those two young officers, they like got nervous and they were struggling, they didn't know if they were going to Gonzalez. And there's like, actually, we can hear it right here. Those officers had it under control, and you guys kind of screwed it over. And the captain's like, you know what? I'm going to approve your guys', you know, a request for vacation, and you guys can both go on vacation effective now. And Danny's not too happy. He's like, we got too much going on. We're trying to, you know, arrest Gonzalez and keep him in jail. And he's like, no, you guys are going to go on vacation right now. Just, you know, to solve the issue, because there's too much crap happening now. We see Danny and Ray leaving a bar because they're all depressed. And they leave the bar and it's broad daylight outside. Like, what the hell are we doing in Key West? What are we doing with this? What are we doing with our life? And then Danny and Ray, it's later in the evening, they go over to talk to this one lady. He's like, what's going on here? Why is everyone just standing around? He's like, we're watching the sunset. He's like, what do you mean? The sunset happens every night. What's the big deal? He's like, well, it's beautiful. Don't you see it? And we see them finally enjoying their vacation. They're on a giant, not giant, but a fair-sized fishing boat with some nice ladies, as Ray's having a really hard time reeling in this fish as he's, you know, sweating and struggling and screaming at it. And then he's like, you know what? I'm just gonna cut the line. We're done. And then we just see them having this little music montage while they're in Key West, enjoying the beach, doing some rollerblading, riding some mopeds together with the ladies. You know, just enjoying time, you know, enjoying their time off. And then we see them watching the sunset together. It's like, look at that sunset. It's so beautiful. We could come back. He's like, yeah, we'll come back next year. Next year's vacation. He's like, actually, we don't need to come back for vacation. We could just come here and live here. Why not? We got nothing else going for us. Let's just retire as cops and come live in South Keys. And Ray's like, what are you going to do? How are we going to live down here? There's nothing to do down here but drink and fish. He's like, oh, well, I'll invest some money into something. And then they're looking at this sailfish bar. He's like, you know, we're going to invest in it. We'll open up, get a bar, have some live music going on, get a bunch of people coming in. We'll make enough money for us to live off of. And they're talking about going into business together as partners. He's like, I don't have that much money to invest in. He's like, come on, man. We'll be fine down here. And then Ray's like, okay, so you want us to move down here? You want us to start a business together? This promise me that we'll get robbed a lot. That way I can have some, like, activity in my life, because I feel like we're just running away from our job and quitting. Then we cut to them sitting down and they're signing the papers on their new lease for their new business that they're gonna start up. And as they're leaving the office, they're rollerblading together down the office. It's just kind of weird looking, kind of funny. It's, you know, them in short shorts doing the four wheel rollerblades that are bright red and bright blue. And then we cut back to them in Chicago still rollerblading while it's snowing out, as they almost get ran over by a car. And then we cut to Danny and Ray talking to the captain in his office. And he's like, you're doing what? We're going to quit. Vamoose, you know, go away, disappear. And he's like, you're not qualified to do anything else. What are you guys going to do? Start a bar or something? It's like, we're actually going to look for some kind of business, some entrepreneur stuff. You know, it's fine. As they get ready to leave the office, that's when Captain Logan announces that Gonzalez is a free citizen and that he's pretty much going to get off with no issue. And they're like, what? What do you mean he's going to get off with no issues? And then Ray's like, you know, we're going to nail him tonight. He's like, well, it's not your problem. He's going to run some dope, maybe kill a cop. You guys are leaving. What's the big deal? Why don't you guys just enjoy it? He's like, no, we're going to get him tonight. And we're going to arrest him, and he's going to jail. We cut to the locker room where we see everyone getting ready, and Danny's getting ready, and he grabs his belt with his gun in it, and the gun actually falls out, hits the bench, and a shot goes out. He's like, sorry about that, guys. My bad. MC Ray and Danny showing up to this Mexican lady's house in Ox, and he's like, so we're looking for Julio Gonzalez. We sold him a lot of Jell-O modes, and we can't get a hold of him. And that's when Ray's waving at the kid that's behind the mom, and the kid keeps giving Ray the finger in different poses, and Ray's just, you know, standing there trying not to lose his cool, being like, oh yeah, this kid's a little asshole. And then they get ready to leave the room, and the lady shuts the door, and then Ray goes back out the door. He's like, just 1 minute, got knocked. Knocks on the door, and the kid answers the door, and that's when Ray's just literally in his face giving him two fingers. And then get outside, get back to the car, and we see a bunch of gang guys just spray painting all over the car. He's like, come on guys, leave the car alone. We see them showing up to where Gonzalez's car is, and their car is just spray painted yellow. Police car, puto, all this other various stuff. He's like, I'm sure they won't notice our car here. It's fine. And we see Ray walking over to Gonzalez's car with the yellow spray paint, and Danny's like, you're not going to spray paint his car. He's like, no, I respect private property. And then he paints a tow spot around the car, and then we have Gonzalez's car getting towed away. And then we see Ray and Danny running into a building to chase after this guy who's probably going to go Warren Gonzalez. And Danny's like, you know, why don't we call for backup? You know, that's what everyone else does. Danny's being a chicken shit at this point in time because he really wants to go live in, you know, Key West. He doesn't want to get shot or murdered, which is understandable. But Ray's not having those feelings at all. He just wants to get Gonzalez and get him arrested. And we have Ray rushing into an apartment, and a couple guys have a gun on him. And then Danny's a little second behind him. He's like, hey guys, did I come at a bad time here or what? What's going on here? Then we see Danny putting his gun pretty much in the guy's nose, being like, if you can't get a coroner, we'll appoint one for you. You have the right to be dead. So how about you put your gun down now? That's when they see there's like another entranceway to another staircase, and they're chasing Gonzalez down the staircase. And Gonzalez has a few floors between them. He's getting dressed at the same time. He starts shooting at them. It's like, hey, it's great to see you here, Gonzalez. And then he randomly grabs a lady who's just trying to, you know, go home with some groceries. That's when Gonzalez is threatening to kill this lady unless they give him their pants, because he doesn't have pants, because he was just kind of getting on with a lady in the apartment building, so he was trying to get out of there quickly because he heard them coming in. So then Danny takes off his pants and throws his pants down the stairwell, but Julio misses them and they fall all the way down. He's like, hey, stop screwing around with me or I'm going to kill her. And he starts shooting up at them. He's like, I just threw you my pants, you just didn't catch them. So then Ray has to throw his pants down, and Julio catches him. He's like, see, now that wasn't so hard. Why couldn't you just throw your pants down? And I would still had my pants. Let me see Julio getting out of the building, and he actually steals their car from them, because apparently they keep the keys in the ignition the whole time. And then we see Danny and Ray chasing after them in their long johns, because apparently they're wearing long johns. I mean, it's Chicago in the winter. He's like, great, we lost our keys, we lost our car, we lost our pants. And then we see backup finally showing up and be like, so what's going on, guys? And then the captain's like, you guys are quitting too soon, aren't you? Or actually, maybe too late. I see it happen before. You know, you're already thinking about quitting. You're not focusing on the job at hand. You're getting too safe and getting too worried about retirement. So you need to get your heads back in the game. And then we see their police car getting towed back into the garage area. Like, so how long is this going to take to fix it? You know, and this thing sticks out like a sore thumb. Might as well be in the blue and white. And then, you know, can we get some upgrades? You know, something a little bit better, a little bit nicer. And he's like, what do you want? You know, I don't have too much time here. The mechanic that does the police work doesn't really seem like he gives two shits about what they want. He's just going to do his job with whatever time he has. And then we see them at the bar hanging out like they usually do at their, you know, unique spot that they always hang out. And then Anna comes out with her birthday cake. Apparently it's Ray's birthday. He's like, you didn't have to do that. And Danny's like, so where's your husband? I wanted to meet him. He's like, don't worry about him. And that's when they're like, so when's the big day? And apparently it's in June. And Danny's like, that's a shame. We won't be here. We'll be in Florida. She's like, what are you doing in Florida? He's like, we bought a bar. We're retiring. We're getting the hell out of here. Then the whole time during the birthday party, Danny, Billy Crystal's character, is saying, count how many candles is on the cake. It should be 36, right? And Ray's like, no, I'm 34. He's like, nah, you're 36. Count all the candles. He's like, no, I am 34. Full aspect of him being like, I'm not getting old, this is not my midlife crisis, that's not why I'm opening a bar. We cut to Captain Logan, who's telling Danny and Ray that they got pretty much trained their replacements, but their replacements are the same guys that were the other undercover agents from the DEA. So why are they training them if they're already DEA agents? And anyways, it doesn't matter anyways, because Ray's like, I'm not working with these guys, I'm not working with these assholes, we're both not working with these assholes. He's like, you know what, we're not too happy with having to work with you guys either. either, to be honest with you. Then we cut back to Ace, the mechanic behind the police force. He's kind of like the wise guy. He's like, you know what, here's a new car. Actually, you know, it's your old car. It just has some little modifications. It's made to look like a taxi cab. He's like, well, what do you want? Some extra machine guns in the grills or something like that? What do you want? And Ace is also the annoying, but the neighbor from Friends that always gets annoyed at them for, you know, being too loud and whatnot. And the two guys that they have to, like, pretty much train from DA. They're like, hey, nice car, as they pull up in their Firebird. He's like, what do you call it? You know, it's got a nice color. Is it the Chickenmobile? And they're like, just one second. We're going to rear end you right now at this point in time and drive away. That's the one thing it was missing. Just needed a little bit of extra character to the car. And the four of them show up at this apartment complex where apparently some of Gonzalez's guys are hanging out, and Ray's like, so should we call for some backup? One of the guys like, yeah, sure, you wanted like an airstrike or something? No, let's just go in, the four of us, we got this. They knock on the door and someone inside the apartment starts shooting at them. So then Ray tries to kick in the door and his foot gets stuck in a hole, and then we just see him ducking off to the side, and they finally get inside the apartment, and then there's a bunch of shootouts happening all over the place. And then Ray and Danny get separated in this apartment because it's apparently a lot bigger than it is, or at least it looked. And at one point, Danny jumps on a bed to avoid a shotgun shot. He's like, where are you? Where are you, Ray? Where are you? He's like, hey, I'm in Key West right now. This sucks. Then at some point in time, Danny gets shot. He's like, I'm shot. Help me, Ray. I'm shot. He's like, 16 years on the force and I get shot by a fellow cop. And Danny's like, just promise me you'll go to Key West without me. He's like, yeah, I promise I'll go to Key West without you. He's like, wait, you're going to go to Key West without me? Give me my gun. I'll shoot you first. Then we see the other two DEA cops catch somebody, and apparently Ray and Danny know the guy because apparently they've been arresting this guy's father a lot of times. And he's like, hey, I'll give you some, you know, information if you just, you know, let me get away, or, you know, cut me some slack here. Gonzalez's shipment is coming in tonight, and you need to be there to get it at the docks. And Ray, I think it's Ray, undoes the handcuffs on the guy, and he just starts taking off down the alleyway. And they're like, hey, he's getting away, he's escaping, go catch him, guys. So I was wrong, it's not actually at the docks, they're heading to the airport. And by the time they get to the airport, there's a bunch of police officers all over the place. He's like, son of a bitch, we've been had, they made it here before we even got here. And of course, Gonzalez is watching from inside the airport as he's got little binoculars and he's looking over at the plane where he sees all the suitcases getting taken off the plane. He sees the drug dog and whatnot, and he's kind of just like, ah, damn it, son of a bitch again. Ray and Danny are pissed off at the captain because he's there. He's like, you know what? You lost your chance at getting Gonzalez. You know, we had the chance to get the drugs off the plane, so we jumped on it. And why do you guys care anyways at all being screwed over? You guys are quitting, aren't you? You're retiring. You got your own bar to Key West to go deal with. And the captain's also doing like a press report at the airport, and he believes that they took off about $6 million worth of cocaine off the street while doing this drug bust on the plane. Then as Ray and Danny are leaving, they walk past the police van where the guy's doing the test on the cocaine. And apparently cocaine's so shit that it's barely enough cocaine to actually get the dog sent. And anyone who gets caught on the street with it apparently is going to die because of how bad it is. And then, of course, it was just a diversion because Gonzalez is smuggling phony dope through customs. And then we see Gonzalez meeting up with a nun and a preacher. And then Danny starts running towards Gonzalez, and Gonzalez gets back in his limo and takes off, and the preacher and nun are like, hey, you have our bags in there, what are you doing, Julio? And that's when Ray pulls up with the taxi, and like, hey, taxi, you need a taxi? Then the nun and the preacher's like, yeah, we gotta catch that limo, he's got our bags. And then we have a car chase between a limo and a taxi cab, going through the airport, getting back on the highway, and the preacher is like, you know what, guys, we're not actually in that much of a hurry to catch the limo, so if you guys could like slow it down a little bit. The limo driver is told to do whatever he needs to get away from the cops, so he actually starts racing beside a train and then starts going down the train tracks, and then they all start going down a train tunnel, and Ray and Danny get up beside them, and Danny's just, you know, waving, be like, hey, how's it going there, Gonzalez? And Gonzalez is like, I got, you know, a present for you. He starts shooting at the taxi, and he's like, hey, it works, the taxi's actually bulletproof. I gotta say, this is like the first time I've ever seen like a car chase happen on the train tracks, and it's kind of unique. It's like the subway tracks as well, but I'm wondering how uncomfortable it was to film this, because the camera in the car looks to be shaking a hell of a lot, so it doesn't look like it'd be a fun time. Then we see them going down like a one-way track, and the limo has to put on the brakes because there's a subway train coming towards them, and Gonzalez and the driver actually get out of the limo and start running down the stairway. And Danny and Ray stop the taxi before the other car hits them. And they get out and they're looking around. It's like, why weren't we on that tram? Should have been on that tram. We could have probably caught him as Gonzalez gets away. And then they're like, Father, you owe us $28.50, by the way, for the taxi ride. We see Ray and Danny sitting in the taxi cab, getting ready for do a stakeout to try and find Gonzalez. And Ray's like, you know, you think we're chickens? Are we, like, you know, running away from this? And Danny's like, you know what? The city doesn't care if we live or die. There's other police officers. You know, we just gotta try and stay alive. And then as they're doing their stakeout, we see a garbage truck show up and start driving in front with the high beams on. And they're like, well, what's going on here? Does the guy think they found someone humping in the car? He's like, I'll get the garbage truck away from us. And puts on the blue light. And then the garbage truck comes up with the side blades and literally crushes the front of the car or the side of the car so they can't open the door, and literally starts picking them up to put them into the back of the garbage truck. And then Gonzalez shows up. He's like, I hear you guys are retiring to Florida. That's pretty good. That's safe bet, because Chicago's not too safe right now, so probably should get out while you can. And then Gonzalez shows him $142,000 wire transfer. That's the amount for the lease for their bar. And he's like, give me back my dough, and I'll pay off your mortgage for your bar, and we'll be settled. We actually see the taxicab police car getting dropped into the garbage truck and getting ready to be crushed because they don't want to take the bribe from Gonzalez. We see them finally breaking out one of the windows, even though it's a bulletproof window. They finally get out of the seal, and they get onto the top of the truck, and they start shooting into the windshield of the truck. But of course, there's no one left in the truck. The guy that was driving just took off. We see the guys go to the impound lot and take Gonzalez's car. And then we see them drive around the neighborhood where Gonzalez usually hangs out. And Ray's like, the easiest way to find somebody is let them come find you. We go back to the spot where they're playing basketball at the beginning of the movie. We see some people, you know, doing some other activities on the street, and they're just driving around Gonzalez's car. And I think everyone at first thinks it's Gonzalez, and then they pop their heads out of the sunroof, and everyone's like, I don't want anything to do with you. Then the big ass Saved by the Bell car phone goes off, and Ray answers. He's like, oh, Julio, how's it going, buddy? I've been looking around town for you. I just can't find you anywhere. What's going on, bud? So we see Anna showing up at Danny's apartment. She's actually already there, and they have a little fight between each other because, you know, there's a lot of tension between the two, and he's not happy that she's getting married. Anyways, she runs off because she's upset from the stress, and as she's leaving his apartment complex, Gonzalez and his guys pick her up and then make her call Danny's apartment. He's like, Anna, I'm sorry that we, you know, started fighting. And then Gonzalez takes over the phone, and he's like, okay, so you want your girl? You're gonna have to give me back my drugs. That's when then Danny rushes into Ray's, you know, open concept apartment while he's getting on with a married chick that they met earlier in the movie. And Danny's like, Gonzalez has Anna, and he wants his dope back or she's gonna die. And that's when they finally use the police motorcycle that's inside of Ray's apartment living room area. They actually have like this whole exit area that apparently they just use. It's a whole ramp that goes right up from the apartment. I don't know. See Ray and Danny, and they're, you know, loading up all their weapons to get ready for this battle that's gonna happen with Gonzalez. And they're all going over the like downfalls of moving to Florida. But like, they only have baseball for training, they don't have an actual football team, you know, there's a lot of mosquitoes, a lot of old people. We see Danny and Ray showing up at the meeting spot for the drug exchange, and that's a government building. And Danny's like, I picked this spot because there's going to be security guards all over the place, cameras all over the place, it's going to be fine. So Danny goes one way and Ray goes in through the back way, and he, you know, catches up with a security guard, and it's actually Juan. He's like, what's going on here, Juan? Because Juan's the guy that gave him the false info at the airport. And apparently all the other security guards, the actual guards, are all handcuffed and gagged in like this little cage area in the boiler room. Also, something I didn't mention at all, this is, I guess, a Christmas movie, because there's Christmas trees and decorations all over the place. Anyways, Danny walks into this government building, and we see Anna is pretty much like caged in this glass elevator, and she's on the very top floor, and she just looks like she's trapped essentially. Then we cut to outside where Ray's using like a grappling kit, and he's climbing up the side of this glass building to try and get like a better view and perspective to keep his buddy safe. We see Danny getting in the other elevator, and it's going up, and now Anna's going down. And we see Gonzalez with one of the sheriff guys, and Danny's showing him the drugs. And Gonzalez gives him that slow golf clap, being like, very good,
did you actually brought the drugs? And then we see Anna's elevator coming back up, and Danny has to yell at her to get down, because then Gonzalez's guys all start shooting at the elevators, even though they're just glass doors and like glass windows all around. So I'm not sure how they miss Anna and Danny, but they do. We see Ray shooting the glass window from the outside and rappelling into the building, and he's yelling at the DEA guys, because both of those guys show up because they've been following Danny and Ray, being like, shoot at the sheriff guys, they're with Gonzalez, shoot them. They're just looking around all confused. Danny's yelling at Gonzalez to come get him and come get his coke as he's throwing his coke off the elevator, and as it's hitting the floor, just exploding, the coke's going all over the place, and Gonzalez is starting to freak out. The whole time we see Ray still stuck in his like rappelling gear, but he's not on the ground yet, he's still hovering midair, and he's trying to get over to a balcony area to try and get off the rope system. We see Gonzalez getting ready to shoot the two DEA guys because they ran out of bullets, and then we just see Gonzalez fall to the ground behind this little balcony area, and then we see Danny just yelling and screaming, be like, I got him! I got him! And then Ray's like, bullshit, you got him! I got him! And then it's just the two of them arguing about who actually shot Gonzalez. And then Blake Gonzalez gets back up on his feet and tells him to freeze. He's like, you guys drop your guns now, or those two guys are dead. And then Ray's like, I thought you got him. He's like, well, I thought you got him, actually, Danny. I could have swore you said you're the one that got him. And then in there, a little mini shootout continues on, and we see Gonzalez getting killed and falling on the escalator and riding the escalator down to the bottom floor. And then we see Anna running over to Danny and hugging him and kissing him, and Ray's like, so what happened to that dentist? And Anna's like, who? He's like, yeah, that's what I thought. And then as Danny and Ray are walking off, they're like, hey, you guys want to buy a bar? I think there's too many people here to keep safe, and we can't trust their safety in your hands. And then the movie ends, and that's it. This is actually a really fun buddy cop movie, and I gotta say, I really enjoyed this one a lot. It's got a really good cast that I didn't really touch on too much. But yeah, definitely a really fun movie. It's still free to watch on Tubi, so definitely go check it out. It might still be there by the time you guys listen to this. It might not be, depending on whenever you're listening to this. A lot of fun comedy aspects to it. On the Rotten scale, I'm going to give this one 8 out of 10. I actually really enjoy it a lot. I've seen it numerous times, and I definitely highly recommend everyone checking it out. And I didn't want to edit it in a certain way because I kind of forgot to mention the tagline like I usually do at the intro while describing this movie, and the tagline is just captioned as two of Chicago's finest ? Also, doing a little research on this, apparently originally it was supposed to be Gene Hackman and Paul Newman, but then Peter Himes decided to make the cast a little bit younger characters. And also at one point in time I heard that it was also supposed to be John Travolta, and I forget who else it was supposed to be now, to be honest with you guys. It's late at night at this point in time. Actually, I remembered it was also supposed to be Tom Selleck, but apparently Tom Selleck declined it because he was still doing Magnum PI at that point in time, and Travolta's agent just didn't like the concept of the movie. So I'm definitely glad it was Gregory Hines and Billy Crystal, because I actually think these two guys really paired up well together as a buddy cop duo. So I wish there was more like it. I wish there was actually another one in the series. Would have been nice to see them playing a little bit older characters later on in like the second one, but sadly that's not gonna happen. So we're now at that point where we gotta pick what we're gonna be watching next week. You know, just for the hell of it, let's do another Tubi movie, and let's do another Billy Crystal movie, but this time, he's going to be pairing up with Danny DeVito. This movie is an hour and 28 minutes. It's another comedy crime movie from 1987. It's Throw Mama from the Train. I haven't watched this one for a long-ass time, to be honest with you. The last time I watched it was on VHS, and probably a lot of people don't know what a VHS tape is, according to my analytics on Spotify, so, you know, hopefully you guys know what VHS tape is. Anyways, go watch it on Tubi. It's a fun movie, so it should be a fun watch. As always, make sure to check out the outro band, Toronto based horror band, Blood Opera. Their newest album is on Spotify. Definitely go check that out. You can find them on all social media accounts. All their links are down below, but you can find them on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, SoundCloud, Spotify, pretty much anywhere and everywhere. As always, make sure to check out all my social media links down below as well, at @TyphonSign on anything and everything, pretty much Instagram, Facebook, X, TikTok. But the main thing we're pushing is that YouTube channel. The weekly gaming video comes out every single Wednesday.
We have very shorts on there. We have live streams happening, you know, 3 or 4 a week. So definitely go check those out as well. And old episodes of podcasts being uploaded as well. So definitely go check that out. Hit that subscribe button. And once we hit 1,000 subs, we'll be giving away some free artwork. So until then, I'll talk to you guys all later. Peace!